We've been looking at how joy is inextricably tied to service. And I hope you have seen that. That's something I honestly, I've said this probably each week. I did not notice in Philippians until this time I've gone through it. I did not notice how joy and service are so tied together in this book. And this week we're going to be looking at the center of the book. And verses 5 through 11 are the epicenter of Philippians. But we're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. This focal point of the entire book reveals to us the how of tying joy and service together. We've been looking at how it's good, it's wonderful, it's something to remember. But in this portion, Paul focuses in on how this works, how to do this. And as I was pondering a way to summarize verses 1 through 11 in a way that we could remember and take with us, contrary to what you may think, it takes a lot of time to think about and to say, how do I refine this mountain of good stuff that's out there to a gold bar that you could take? And this is what the Lord seemed to give. He said this: complete your joy by moving from me to we. Complete your joy by moving from me to we. And Deb McKee is going to read this for us today, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 from the English Standard Version. So, Deb, if you would come forward.
So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
As we're pondering this idea of completing our joy by moving from me to we, there are three reasons outlined in this passage for why to do this. They are: complete your joy by moving from me to we because of what you have received, because of what you have given, and because of what you have imitated. So let's unpack these. First, complete your joy by moving from me to we because of what you have received. If you look at verse 1, we see Paul is moving into this idea. He says there, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, he's saying, because of these things, if they exist in you, or because they exist in you, then do these things. And so he's challenging them to remember what they've received, that when we remember what we've received from God, these four things that really make up community, that it brings to mind and gives us the reason why we're doing this. Why do we want to serve? He's reminding them that what they have received in Christ through him. And when you and I remember all that we've received from God through Christ, it motivates you and I to move from me to we. Because we've all received all that we need from God in Christ. Peter says that. He says, We receive everything we need for life and godliness through Christ Jesus. If you and I truly understand all that God has given to us in Christ, and we realize that we lack nothing and that we have everything we need, we don't need to be so focused on ourselves. We have extra to bless others with. And Paul reminds the Philippians of four specific areas that they've received from God in Christ. Their encouragement first, comfort, participation in the Holy Spirit, and love. So these are four aspects of Christian community that really lead to, if we are aware of these things in our own life, they lead us to show those and be those to others. In one sense, he's reminding them of the ways that God has served them through Christ and through the Holy Spirit within them. Let's think about that in our own lives. I want you to just take a moment to pause. How has God encouraged you through Christ? I imagine we could spend several Sundays, the rest of this time, thinking of ways in our life that God has encouraged us through what Christ has done for us. Secondly, how has God comforted you? I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians, that first chapter, and one of the verses in it, Paul says, with the comfort we have received, we are able to what? Comfort others. So when I'm aware of all the comfort that God has made available for me in Christ, it makes me less selfish. When I realize all the ways he has met me in those broken times, I'm willing to meet others. Think about this. How has God filled you with his Holy Spirit to accomplish what he has asked of you? He mentions there the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've not experienced that, but if you have, I think that's a good reason why we give testimonies up here, to remind people, but maybe some of us have not been there. I know for me, it wasn't until I was 16 years old that I really experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'd been a believer since I was 7, but I had been trying to do it in my own energy, my own strength, and it was the testimony of a speaker and of others in my life that I realized I can be filled with God's Spirit. I can depend on God's Spirit. I can say, help, God, in every part of life. And as we think back on our life, when God has used you in ways you could have never foreseen, given you wisdom you never should have had or could have had, or the circumstances that brought you to the right place at the right time, there's many ways that God works by his Spirit. It's exciting when we're filled with his Spirit. It makes us want to serve others. Makes us want to bless others. And then finally, the love. You know, something I've been, honestly, for the past 10 years, it feels like a lesson I'm just keep learning over and over. What is the love of God? I imagine I'll be learning it the rest of my life. It's like layers of an onion as you pull it back. Realizing all God has forgiven us of. I don't know if you've ever had that where he has made you very aware of your sinfulness. Has anyone ever felt that? Where you suddenly felt so unholy, so unworthy, but in the same moment you feel the forgiveness and the grace of God. It's a weird feeling because you feel like nothing, yet you feel loved. And it's probably the best feeling in the world to feel that grace of God in your life, the love of God. And you know, it applies to every other area. You know, like one specific area I think of is forgiveness. When you and I realize the huge mountain of sinfulness we've been forgiven in Christ, it makes us so much more willing to forgive others. It makes us a generous person. When we realize that all that God has blessed us with, that every, you know, me even being able to work this day was God's strength in my life. Any money I have is because of him. It makes us incredibly generous towards others because we realize he is so generous to us. So it's this realizing what you've been given that allows you to want to serve. It gives you the why. So secondly, not only does Paul challenge them to consider what they've received, he also challenges them to complete your joy by moving from me to we because of what you have given. What you have given. Look with me at verse 2 through 4. He says, because all these things, you know, those things he prefaced, we just talked about, he says, complete my joy. And I thought that was interesting. He's saying, complete my joy, but I've translated to complete your joy as well. You're completing Paul's joy, but he's saying, you will have complete joy when these things are happening in you. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. We see that the biggest thing Paul is challenging them to give is preference for others. He's challenging them to seek to understand others, to regard others as more significant than themselves. And I was reading in the Word Biblical Commentary, and Hawthorne, I just want to read this quote, but I felt like he really nailed this in a way I couldn't with my own words. He said this: humility is defined more precisely by this expression, which immediately follows. The participle considering, this idea of considering others, is formed from a verb that means to calculate, to reckon. It implies a consciously sure judgment resting on carefully weighed facts. Here it points to a proper evaluation of others and of oneself in light of the holiness of God, the Christian gospel, and the pattern of Christ. The result, Paul says, will be to set others above yourselves. Not just, I love this part, not just the good, not just the clever, not just the earnest, pious ones to whom all willingly bow, but those who lack these characteristics as well. We tend to prefer others when they're better than us, or they more wonderfully exhibit something we value. If we value cleverness, we value wisdom, we value piety, it's not hard to respect them or consider them better than yourselves. But what Paul's calling us here is not just those that are worthy, but the unworthy, to consider them better than yourself. It's totally opposite than the way the world works. We don't tend to think that way. Let me go on with this quote. He says, for the word better, superior, above that Paul uses here to describe one's neighbor recalls the superior authorities, those who govern by virtue of their superior authority, not necessarily by virtue of their superior quality. So it's regarding others not because they're so quality, but because they're made in the image of God, we regard them as better than ourselves. Not just saying, I know I should think of them better than myself, but I truly think that I have something to learn from this person. They have something valuable to offer, even though they may not appear to. Christians, therefore, as Barth notes, are to consider one another without restriction. Problems of disunity end when we discover respect for each other, not on this ground or that, perhaps without any grounds, counter to every ground, simply because we are bidden to do so, ordered to reckon each other better than ourselves. Naturally, one does not think this way, but the divine command directed not toward all but to the Christian community implies divine assistance to achieve the impossible. Such an attitude of utter respect for one another guarantees unity and binds believers together in a mutually enriching society. Okay, that was a big mouthful, but it's this, I just love how he emphasized that. It's not just because I respect that person because they deserve respect because of the things they can offer or have done. I respect them because God has called me to respect them because of all he's given me. And so as we give that thing, as we minister to others, as we prefer others over ourselves, this idea of giving, it spurs us on to want to do it more. I know as I've learned to serve, it makes me want to serve more. Serving begets more serving. Let's move on to this third point. Not only does this idea of what we've received and given, the third thing is complete your joy by moving from me to we because of what you have imitated. What you have imitated. So this is that Christological hymn, verses 5 through 11. Sometimes this is a message at Christmas. But this is a hymn, but Paul uses to illustrate this whole idea he's saying here. He gets the whole incarnation, the mission of Christ in this hymn. So I want us to read this. This is a hard one to preach on. There's so much written on this. If you start looking, there are books on these five verses. It's ridiculous. There's a lot out there. There's a lot in them. And I would encourage you, just spend some time meditating on these, chewing on it, memorizing, simmering, stewing, marinating, whatever, in these. So let's read this. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We see in verses 5 through 11, Paul focuses in upon imitating Christ and what he has done. In one sense, it's inimitable. That's a big word, but how do we imitate Christ? We are not the Savior of the world, but he sets forth the example. He called us, he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. If you wish to follow me, this is the path. And kind of a moniker sticks to my mind, the way up is down. The way up is down. He's saying the way of glory is the way of humility. What does this passage talk about? He did all these things, then God exalted him. And we're not maybe doing this for our own glory, but what this is as you and I humble ourselves, we will be bringing glory to God. The Westminster Catechism said, what is the chief end of man is to bring glory to God, and to desire him forever. And so if people ask you, what's your purpose for existence? Why doesn't God just snatch you up once you're saved to heaven? Why are we still on this earth? It's to bring him glory, to make much of God. And the way we bring God the most glory is the path of service, the path of humility, the path of dying to self, preference of others over ourselves. And we have the joy to know that we don't have to do this on our own. He's given us his Holy Spirit to help us in this. It is a process. Does anyone find that easy to die to self? Is that just super easy to do? Any of you feel like, man, I got that down? Like that guy, I'm the most humble man. It's tough. And learning humility often involves our failures, does it not? Like that video. Failing others, broken relationships in our lives. We learn humility through our mistakes, through our brokenness. It'd be great if we could learn it other ways. I would love it if I could take a humility pill or something each day. It'd be great. But you live long enough, you will be humbled. And it's interesting that some commentators compared this hymn of Christ as the second Adam to the first Adam. Adam sought to be like God. Jesus released his godhood, in a sense, to become man. Adam grasped for the fruit. Jesus did not. He released. So in every way, you kind of see this first Adam, second Adam. Adam, the first Adam did the opposite of what Christ did. And the flesh in us, that first Adam, often does things the opposite. So we need this example to imitate, to put before us, to constantly remind ourselves in that struggle we have with the flesh. So, question might be, who are you and I imitating? Who do we look to? We might say, yeah, Jesus is a good guy. Jesus is God. Jesus is all right with me. Like, Jesus is just all right. All right, sorry, DC talk coming through there. But do I imitate him? Do I have my eye fixed upon him? Is he the example for our lives? Or is it some other person, some other thing? Do we regard him as the highest pinnacle of success, to be like Christ and all that that means, the road of the cross? And we're coming up here toward Lent, towards Easter. These are good times of the year to reflect on these things, this way of service. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I just wanted us to spend some of this time during this next song just asking yourself, what have I received from God? What have I given as a result of what I've received? And who am I imitating? And am I having my joy completed in these things or in something else? Am I having my joy completed in moving from me to we? Or is it still just all about me? So you guys could lead us in that song, and then I'll close us in prayer.